you'll see that America is still the land of the free.
Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, your national beacon of liberty. Now, here's your Voice of Freedom, Brent Johnson.
Richard Mack is an author, speaker, former Arizona sheriff, and one of the most well-known and respected sheriffs our country has ever had. Richard and six other sheriffs challenged the constitutionality of the mandatory Brady Bill background check. They fought it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, where they won a monumental decision for freedom. He is the author of The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, From My Cold Dead Fingers, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, and his latest book, The Magic of Gun Control. Richard is also working on a sequel to The County Sheriff, which we'll talk about a little later. Sheriff Mack is the primary force behind the organization Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. He has visited with us before. Let's welcome back to the Voice of Freedom, Sheriff Richard Mack. Richard, how are you?
Well, doing really well. Thanks a lot. Appreciate being back with you, Brent. You and I go back a long way.
Yes, we do. It's always inspiring to me to just observe what you have done over the last 10, 20 years in support of constitutional rule of law in America. And I know that however difficult things are in America today, we are far better off than we would be without Richard Mack.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And we're just going to keep plugging away here. It sure looks awfully bleak out there. We've had some losses and we've had some victories. And recently we had a huge one in Florida.
And that's what I want to talk about today. In Florida, in Liberty County, which is in the northern part of the state, there is a sheriff by the name of Nick Finch. He's been sheriff for just about a year now. And a little while back, he made some determinations around a man who was accused of a crime.
There was only one court case regarding this, and it was the people of Liberty County who were picked and selected to be on the jury. And for some reason, they only have six people on a jury there. I guess if it's a minor felony, which is what this was, you can only have six people on the jury. I was surprised by that. I thought there would be 12. But there was only six. And again, let me stress this point. There was only one court case regarding this entire matter. But the governor got involved in the process. The attorney general's office obviously got involved in the process. They were prosecuting Sheriff Finch. And the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, which is the largest law enforcement agency, state police agency, little slip of the tongue there, in the state of Florida. So they were the ones that investigated this. And then, of course, some of Sheriff Finch's own employees turned on him. I would call it backstabbing and testified against him. It turned out that their testimony, because most of them told the truth, most of it ended up helping Sheriff Finch. It could have gone to the Supreme Court, but it didn't need to.
And the final resolution on this was very positive. I'd like to start at the beginning here. I want you to tell the story of what Sheriff Finch did to precipitate this entire scenario.
Well, you know, this is an amazing story, and I'll start with the bottom line. I'll start with Z and then work our way back to it. I've been in law enforcement 20 years. I've been around law enforcement probably for 35 years. And I've been to trials and court hearings all across this country hundreds and hundreds of times. I would have to maybe sit down and do some analysis of that. But I've been to civil court cases. I've been to every type of criminal court case you can imagine. I've been to the federal district court. I've been to federal tax court. I've been to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And I've been to the United States Supreme Court, as you alluded to in your introduction. And I will tell every one of your listeners and everybody in America and throughout the world, this was the epitome of a case that should never have been to trial. This was the biggest charade, abuse of power, tyranny, and the miscarriage of justice that I've ever seen. However, in the end, all of that was nullified by a jury of Sheriff Finch's peers. I am proud of that jury that they saw through the smokescreen of the prosecutors, of a corrupt assistant attorney general. And if the assistant attorney general is corrupt, then his boss, Pam Bundy, is also corrupt. And she's allowed this to happen. She's the attorney general of the state. She prances around like little Miss America. She's cute. She's blonde. And if you ask me, she's an airhead and a half crook. because she allowed this to go on, and everyone in the state should have known or knew that this case should have never been to trial, that there was never any evidence to support the claims that they charged Sheriff Finch with. And now, that being the final analysis, let's go through this step by step and start with A and work our way down to Z.
What is this horrible thing that Sheriff Nick Finch did that precipitated this?
In actuality, what Sheriff Finch did is he did something that the state, the governor and the attorney general's office and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement said, we can't allow this to happen, because Sheriff Finch nullified the absurd arrest of a man in his county. His name was Floyd Parrish. And Mr. Parrish was arrested for not having a permission slip from the state to put a gun in his pocket. You have to realize that was not a crime until the deputy who arrested Mr. Parrish made it a crime, because he was just sitting in his car doing nothing, harming no one. He's not a criminal. He's not a prohibited felon. He's a law-abiding citizen. This is what happened. On March 8th of this year, 2013, Sheriff Finch had only been sheriff 2 months and 1 week. Mr. Parrish was driving down the road, just going home, and the deputy involved was Jody Hoagland. And he was following the man and just kept following him. It was a windy road. It was about 5 o'clock in the evening, so it was still light. And this is one of those times when the officers in this country know how to fudge on probable cause to make a stop, because they want to just shake somebody down. So he said he swerved over to the right of the road too far. Well, on this road, everybody does it all the time because it's a windy road. It would have almost been impossible to write him a ticket for what he did. In fact, it would have been. He got off on the shoulder of the road, and the deputy pulls him over for that. And while they're talking, Mr. Perry says, hey, I've got a gun here on the front seat. Deputy Hoagland could see it, and he saw it and said, okay, do you have any other gun? He said, yeah, I have a little one in my pocket. At that point, there's no crime, because you can have a gun in your car. You can carry it any way you want. But then he pulls him out, and now he's in public. So he pulls him out of the vehicle and checks both guns, and they're clear. They weren't stolen guns at all. He arrests the man for having a gun in his pocket. So he takes him in, he handcuffs him, and hauls him off to jail. Then some of the brothers of Mr. Parrish are really concerned, because he has severe health problems, and they don't want him inside the jail. And they wonder how he could get his medication if he's inside the jail. And so they call the sheriff and say, hey, Floyd got arrested. At this point, it bears noting that Sheriff Finch did not know Floyd Parrish. He had never met him before in his life. He had met one of the brothers during his campaign twice. That's it. Met him during the campaign, asked for his vote. The Parrish brother really liked Sheriff Finch because they served in the military, and he's a veteran. And so was Parrish's brother. And his name was Lloyd. So we have Floyd and Lloyd. So Sheriff Finch gets back home with his wife. They had gone out to dinner. And he goes down to the sheriff's office and goes into the jail. And both of Floyd Parrish's brothers are there waiting to see the sheriff. And they go in the cell with him. They go inside in the holding center. You need to remember, this is a vital part of the evidence. Sheriff Finch, as soon as he gets there, is met by the two Parrish brothers, Jim and Lloyd. They go into the jail together, and they leave together. This is a key part of the evidence, because they claim that Sheriff Finch destroyed documents while he was in the jail. But the Parrish brother said he never left our side, and he never had any documents in his hands at any time. Nor could he have got any, because he was with us. All he did is go to the holding cell, talk to our brother, and he released our brother and told us to take him home. So while Sheriff Finch is inside the holding center talking to Floyd Parrish, the arrestee, he says, look, this one's on me. I'm not going to let you be arrested. I'm not going to press any charges, and nobody else is either. You're free to go, but just make sure you take some time to go get your concealed carry permit. If you're going to be going around in public at all with a gun in your pocket, it would probably be best that you have your permit. But this is what I've said, Brent, all along. I've said it on your radio shows before. The concealed carry permits nationwide are a double-edged sword. Yes, they might allow you to carry a gun and keep cops off your back, but it also creates stupid arrests and stupid enforcement, just like was done by this Deputy Hoagland. Sheriff Finch felt that if the Second Amendment protected anything, it had to protect the right of a citizen to have a gun on his person without being arrested. And if it doesn't protect that, then the Second Amendment's meaningless. So he went down and nullified the arrest of Mr. Parrish. Then Deputy Hoagland was informed by the sheriff what he did, said, hey, we're not going to arrest people for that, tried to make sure that he understood this and cautioned him not to do that anymore. So Deputy Hoagland got the paperwork from the case and took it to an investigator for the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. Said, I think you ought to investigate Sheriff Finch. I think he released somebody that he shouldn't have, and he also destroyed documents relating to the arrest of Mr. Parrish. And he also whited out his name on the jail log. Well, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement investigators investigated this for about 6 weeks, and then they served a search warrant on Sheriff Finch's sheriff's office on Liberty County. And they went in there to find documents or anything else that related to this. And indeed, they found the jail log where Floyd Parrish's name had been on there, and then it was whited out. They never interviewed Sheriff Finch. They never made any attempt to interview him about the case, to question him about this, or to just go to him and say, Sheriff, we know you've only been here 2 months when this whole thing happened. We certainly can't tell you how to run your office. We're not your boss. But we would recommend that you be very careful with paperwork and that you make this clerical policy change within your sheriff's office.
So he did white out his name, apparently, but they never discussed it with him?
No, he did not. No, we don't know who did it. And Sheriff Finch probably couldn't have done it. There's no evidence that Sheriff Finch did it.
They never even asked him about it?
Never even asked him if he did it or who did it. Could have been the jailer, could have been the control center person, could have been another person the next day. One of his employees, one of the jailers who came on the next day, did white out line number 11, which was right above line number 12. And our supposition is that he accidentally marked it out when he was trying to white out line number 11, and he made a mistake. But nobody fessed up to ever having whited out Floyd Parrish's name. No one ever admitted it. Sheriff Finch was asked directly on the stand if he did it. He said he did not do it. The newspaper editor testified. He said, for the last 8 years, now remember, Sheriff Finch has only been there 2 months, so he's not the one that started all this whiteout stuff. All these whiteout crimes were not started by Sheriff Finch. And the newspaper editor said, I have been frustrated for 8 years because every time I go there, there's things that are whited out that we want to know what was on there. And nobody will tell us, and we can't ever find out the information. So obviously, court testimony proved that Sheriff Finch was being singled out for something that had gone on inside that jail for over 8 years. And no, he was never interviewed. And let me tell you, as a law enforcement veteran and as a former detective, I can tell you that not attempting to interview the suspect, especially in a case such as this, shows that you are either incompetent or that you have an ulterior agenda and motive. The agenda and the motivation for going after this case without interviewing the sheriff is absolutely unheard of. So unprofessional.
Okay, so they found this part of the jail journal that was whited out. From what you're telling me, that's all they found. How did this investigation proceed?
Well, it was pretty comical. Now, there's one other thing that was missing, and that was the reports that were turned in, what they call a probable cause affidavit that's written by the officer. And that's supposed to be put in a file and put inside the jail. Well, Sheriff Finch, on his way to the jail, called the control center, and the lady running that is Lisa Smith. And she testified that Sheriff Finch actually came inside the control center while he was in the jail, speaking with the Parrish brothers. The Parrish brothers all testified that the sheriff never left their side. She said that he came inside the control center, even though there's a little letter box that you can just put paperwork in there, so you don't have to go inside the control center. You can just hand papers to her, and she can hand them back out to you. So the testimony from Lisa Smith was very alarming and very disturbing. She was either lying or extremely mistaken. She gave him the paperwork on Mr. Parrish and gave him the file. Well, Sheriff Finch testified that he told her not to start a file because the man was not going to be booked in and to wait on booking him. And she indeed did wait on several things. He hadn't been fingerprinted yet. He hadn't had his photograph taken. And that's part of the booking process. So obviously, the booking process had not been completed. And she said that Sheriff Finch never even spoke to her. Well, the jail tapes proved that she did speak with him. So obviously, she's either very mistaken or she was lying. And in this particular case, she said that he never talked to her, that the sheriff never talked to her. She was dead wrong. Well, she was dead wrong or lying about something else also, and that is that she handed a file over to him. I would maintain that there would be no need to have a file if the man is not being charged and he's not being arrested, he's not being booked into jail. It would be within his jurisdiction and power and prerogative as a sheriff to destroy those documents. But anyway, Sheriff Finch did not do it, and Lisa Smith obviously got caught in a lie or a big mistake because he said he called her and told her not to book him, and she said, no, he never called me and never spoke with me. Well, they played that conversation off the jail tapes and logs that, in fact, Sheriff Finch did call her. So her credibility as a witness was shot, and it was the only witness they had that could link Sheriff Finch to any type of an infraction. And so I'll remind you, the Parrish brothers all said that Sheriff Finch was with them the entire time, that they walked into the jail with him, and they walked out with him, with their brother, who had been arrested. So that all contradicted Lisa Smith's testimony as well. None of them would have any reason to lie for Sheriff Finch, and I don't believe any of them would lie for Sheriff Finch, and that there was some sort of conspiracy to have all these guys lie for him. Nobody thought that he'd done anything wrong to begin with. So after this investigation started, pursuant to the complaint from Deputy Hoagland, they finally arrested Sheriff Finch in the first part of June. Then once he was arrested, the governor interjected himself in this whole thing and removed Sheriff Finch from office and removed him and suspended him without pay.
What were the charges? He was arrested for what?
Destruction of public documents, falsifying public documents. I guess that's it. Falsifying public documents is a felony. So there was one felony and one misdemeanor. They literally booked Sheriff Finch into his own jail for using whiteout and getting rid of a file that no one was able to determine ever existed. The only testimony and evidence that ever was submitted anywhere of anyone having any paperwork regarding this matter was Deputy Hoagland, because he turned it over to the investigator for the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. The item that was supposedly destroyed was the probable cause affidavit. The probable cause affidavit was in the computer, and Sheriff Finch never removed it from the computer. He never deleted it. It's still in the computer today. There was never any testimony or any physical evidence to show that Sheriff Finch ever had possession of it, ever had control of it.
If he had been found guilty of the charges brought against him, what would they have done to him?
He would have been given a very stiff fine, and he would have gone to jail for a little while. I don't think it would have been very long, but he would have gone for a little while because they were really ticked off. They were really aggravated with him, frustrated with him, that he didn't take the plea bargain. They offered him a bargain. Of course, you know what they offered him. If you'll just leave office and not come back, then we'll drop all the charges against you. He told them to pound sand and that he would never take any deal, no matter how long this trial and this fight took, he would never take a deal. He told me that personally, and we were proud of him. Sheriff Finch is exactly the type of sheriff that we've been trying to create in this country, and we pray that our efforts are more successful in creating hundreds and hundreds of Sheriff Finches all across this country. Brent, the answer to America's problems and to stop the tyranny and abuse of Washington, D.C. corrupt corporation government is having the Sheriff Finches in this country that will stand against it, that will stop it, that will say, you're not going to do that in my county, that nullify when people are arrested and nullify the policies and enforcement of the IRS and the EPA and the FDA and the NSA and Forest Service and Department of Interior and DHS and TSA. If you want to stop this, and if you want to stand for America and you want to restore your Constitution, then you've got to get a Sheriff Finch in your county. And you want your sheriff trained, and you want your sheriff committed, and you want your sheriff to keep his word and keep his oath and stand with you for the holy cause of liberty. We're proud to know Sheriff Finch, and we're proud to stand with him. Now, back to the story of what happened to him. He gets arrested. He's removed from his job. They have a new name for a new sheriff within 2 days on the marquee in front. They remove Sheriff Finch's name and put the new name of the sheriff, and his last name's Money. So we now have a Sheriff Money taking his place. And guess what agency Mr. Money worked for? The Florida Department of Law Enforcement. The governor goes to the very agency that is investigating Sheriff Finch, who is a close personal friend of the Assistant Attorney General who is prosecuting Sheriff Finch and who offered Sheriff Finch the deal. You won't see any jail time. You won't see any fine. Just resign from office, and we'll drop all these horrible charges, and you and your family can get back to normal. Well, he didn't take the deal. He said, let's go. And so Sheriff Finch didn't have a way to pay for his lawyers. He didn't have a way to pay for his house payment. He couldn't take care of his family. He had two special needs daughters who really require a lot of help. So we went out to Florida, and we did a big fundraiser for Sheriff Finch, and we're still fundraising for Sheriff Finch because he doesn't have the money to pay the $150,000 bill to his lawyers, and he may or may not get lawyer fees, and the way it looks now, he probably won't get it because the courts, I don't believe, are going to side with him and say, oh, yeah, you can get lawyer fees from the state. So he's probably going to have to sue to get that back. He has a real good chance of suing the governor and suing the attorney general's office for unlawful arrest and unlawful prosecution. This guy has just got so much work to do to catch up on getting things back in order in the sheriff's office that I don't think he's going to want to spend a bunch of time in court. But we've got lawyers ready to help him. There's a lot of them coming out of the woodwork that say, hey, we'll take this on a contingency basis. We want to help. But I'll tell you what. The Florida Sheriff's Association abandoned Sheriff Finch in his time of need. The National Sheriff's Association never even gave him the time of day. And these are associations that say their motto is to help sheriffs and help maintain the office and power and jurisdiction of the sheriffs. And that all looks like a big farce at this point. CSPOA has been raising money for him and helping him. I've been out there two or three times. I have vetted the man. I know the man. I absolutely love his wonderful family, and his daughters are just precious. His wife is a good person. I have nothing but respect for Sheriff Finch and his wife and family. We went out and had a big fundraiser for him with Oath Keepers, and we raised about $19,000 in one day for Sheriff Finch.
All right, so Sheriff Finch was acquitted by a jury of his peers of all charges. He's been reinstated as Sheriff of Liberty County. What happens now with respect to the Parrish case and with respect to his tenure as sheriff? Has this circumstance made it harder for him to be a good sheriff, or perhaps the opposite is true?
I think the opposite is true. I think he has been re-empowered. I think he's been endorsed now by the citizens of his county. He beat the beast. He beat the powers that be that went after him. He won. It was a unanimous verdict. It took only about 75 minutes for the jury to come back with the verdict. He was found not guilty on both charges, and he was completely vindicated. He was restored to his position right then and there by the governor. The governor at least did that correctly in taking swift action to put him back in office. But again, the governor should have never inserted himself in this in the first place. And I want to tell you one other thing. I attended the trial, and Sheriff Finch took the stand, knowing full well he had nothing to hide. During his testimony, the prosecutors were really badgering him, and they got away with a lot of badgering and a lot of shenanigans, and the judge allowed it, and it was completely one-sided, and that's why I was afraid the jury wouldn't see past the ruse, because two prosecutors and the judge were against Sheriff Finch. No question about it. But the prosecutor was going after him and says, hey, you think you're above the law, don't you, Sheriff Finch? He said, no, I don't. Well, you don't think you have to enforce the laws regarding permits to carry a gun? He goes, no, I didn't say that either. This went on for a while, and Sheriff Finch says, I took an oath to defend the Constitution. And he said, Counselor, the Constitution has to count for something. And that was the most powerful point of the entire trial. The oath of office was on trial. The Constitution was on trial. And Sheriff Finch, defending it, was on trial. And that's why I was so concerned about the outcome of this case. It was huge for the independence of the sheriffs. It was huge for sheriff nullification and for jury nullification. Sheriff Finch nullified the arrest of an innocent man, and then a jury nullified the arrest of an innocent sheriff. And this is the way the system is supposed to work. I'm very proud to have seen it. And yes, he was found not guilty. He is the sheriff of Liberty County once again, and he still has some scars from this, but he has a lot of work to do. I'm totally backing him, and we're still trying to raise money for him. And anybody want to help out, and you can see the story about Sheriff Finch and see his picture at cspoa.org.
cspoa.org. And we certainly wish Sheriff Finch the very, very best. I hope you'll convey my personal congratulations to him next time you speak with him.
I sure will.
I appreciate that. You and CSPOA have been instrumental the last couple of years in holding constitutional sheriff's conventions. And I understand there is another one that is coming up in January. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we're going to identify the top 50 to 70, maybe 75 sheriffs in the country. And we've had over 250 sheriffs attend our conventions. We've had over 500 sheriffs sign on to protect the Second Amendment on our website. Your listeners can certainly view that list as well. So we're going to get the top 50, 60 sheriffs in the country together and have them help us create and develop an agenda in defending the people of our country so that everyone knows that there is someone protecting you, defending the little guy against the Goliath federal government and state governments when they come in and abuse citizens and wrongfully arrest them, just like Floyd Parrish was in Liberty County. We want to use this as an example and as a teaching tool, and we're going to have Sheriff Finch attend this and tell his story so other sheriffs can make sure that this does not happen to citizens, let alone to sheriffs in their counties. So this convention is not going to be open to the public. It's only going to be a sheriff conference to develop the agenda where we take this constitutional sheriff movement to the next level. We've got to make this bigger, better, and faster. Time is of the essence. The federal government is completely out of control, and we've got to do something about it, and we've got to do it now, and we want to protect the people of this country, and this is exactly what this conference is going to be about. So people listening, get your sheriff to come to that. You can let us know that you will be able to fund his airfare to get there. We need your help. We want to make sure your sheriff comes. If he doesn't qualify, he'll be turned down, but we can sure get that help to someone else who does qualify. To qualify to this, you have to state publicly that you will uphold and defend the Constitution in your county against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Does that sound familiar, Brent?
It sure does. When and where is the conference going to be?
It's going to be in Las Vegas, and it's going to be January 24th. It's only one day, but we're going to get a lot done that day. And we're going to develop an agenda where the constitutional sheriffs will take this back to their states, and they're going to vet every sheriff in their state. Are you willing to sign on to this and say, yes, we will stand against tyranny. We will protect our citizens. We will not allow bureaucracies from Washington, D.C. to run roughshod over the rights of the people in our county. It's time that we separate the men from the boys, and that's what this is going to do.
And if you can get me information about this, I will be glad to put it up on my websites and make sure people know that it's happening.
We're going to be paying the airfare for those 50 or 60 to attend. So anything that they can donate to help that happen, we'd sure love to have their help.
Now, I understand that you are in the midst of writing a sequel to your brilliant book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. Can you tell us anything about that, or is this going to be kept secret until it's released?
Oh, no, it's no secret. I've already announced it a couple of different places. But the title of the book will say, in small print, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, second edition. And then the big title will be, Are You a David? Are You a David means, are you a David from the Old Testament? Are you willing to take on Goliath? Will you answer the call to take on Goliath? Are you humble enough? Are you courageous enough to take a stone from the stream, put it in your sling, and fling it at the Philistine? This is really what it's going to be about. And of course, equating that analogy to modern day times. Sheriffs, are you willing to be a David? Will you answer the call? And that's what it's about. I'm going to be very contemporary in listing what sheriffs have said about how they're so afraid to do that and how they're afraid to keep their oath of office, that they might lose their retirement, lose their job, lose federal grants if they stand up to the federal government. Well, we're going to make it very plain that we don't tolerate that anymore, and that kind of cowardice is going to be assailed in this book. And we're probably going to call a few sheriffs out by name who have infamously stood up and said they will not keep their oath, they will not support the Constitution, and we're going to call them to task, and we're going to ask them and the rest of the sheriffs in this country, chiefs of police too, every peace officer in this country, are you a David?
Is it your intention that this book be read by other sheriffs, or is this for the general public, or both?
It's definitely both. You have to know what your sheriff's supposed to know, what your sheriff's supposed to do. The citizens must have a working relationship, a friendly relationship with their sheriff, be on his posse. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And if we're not vigilant with our sheriffs, then we're going to lose this. We're going to lose this right now. If you just expect your sheriff to do all this on his own without you being involved in the process, that's not going to work. You have to read the book. You need to know what he's supposed to know.
And when do you expect to have this ready for release?
I really hope within a couple of months. So I would say at the beginning of the year, I hope to have it for the sheriffs at our conference on January 24th.
Fantastic. And please send me a copy if you would. I would very much look forward to that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Is there anything else that is going on in the life of Richard Mack that you would like to share with our listeners?
There's always something else happening, and we're busy putting out fires all across the country. But the biggest story and the biggest thing we've been a part of is Sheriff Finch. We're proud as peacocks that he won and that we've been able to be part of this process and helping this good man. I just wish every one of your listeners could meet him and know him, and I wish everyone in this country had been able to attend that trial. You could have seen for yourself what a farce it was. We're just grateful to the good Lord that he intervened and this jury did the right thing.
Amen to that. And I'll tell you, you have helped those of us who were not actually there in Florida. It's as if we have sat in on the trial. You have helped us to have been there, even though we were not physically present. And thank you for everything that you continue to do on behalf of Liberty, Sheriff Richard Mack. My guest has been Richard Mack. He's the author of the upcoming book, Are You a David?, the sequel to The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. He's the driving force behind the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, www.cspoa.org. Richard, God bless you and the work you're doing. We are all so much better off knowing that you're out there acting on our behalf.
Thank you so much, Brent. Appreciate you.
God bless you. Sheriff Richard Mack.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Voice of Freedom. Opinions expressed are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views of Truth and Freedom Radio Networks, Freedom Broadcast Group Incorporated, or our sponsors. For more information about your freedoms and liberties, or to contact Brent, just log on to our website at www.freedomradio.us or call 1-888-385-3733. Join us next time for another lesson in liberty on The Voice of Freedom.
America, land of the free, right to life and liberty. Open your eyes and you will see that America is still the land of the free.